James chapter 1. Let's stand out of love and respect for the word of God. I will read quickly. You say, why? Because I'm going to read the whole chapter. Okay? James chapter 1. Just follow along. It will go quickly. It will not take but a few moments of time as long as I stay focused, which may not happen. But that's all right. We'll try anyways. James chapter 1, a good chapter of the Bible. We're going to talk about another one of these characteristic traits that we can and should display as a believer in Jesus Christ. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave, a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, what is this trait? This trait that we're going to talk about tonight, I think, is embodied in the words of the entirety of chapter 1. Now, there's a lot of things you can go there. And Brother Absher, you probably have 5 or 6 messages written out from James chapter 1, I'm sure. Or maybe more. Okay, amen. And listen, there are a lot of topics here that we just kind of plowed through. But I think all of them together, and that's why I enjoy reading entire chapters sometimes, just to catch the whole sense of what's going on. But if you kind of look through the different pieces here in James chapter 1, I think you find a common thread, and that common thread is the character trait of being consistent. Being consistent. Being a consistent Christian is, I think, I don't know, it's right up there on the list of things to do as a Christian. Being consistent. What is the thing that people often say about us believers? We are hypocrites. Right? We're inconsistent. We say one thing and do another, right? Or sometimes we say a multiplicity of things. We just, you know, just go on and say things. And the only thing I'm consistent at is being inconsistent. Amen? And I think a lot of us maybe are that way. But still, being consistent is something that a believer needs to learn. It's one of those character traits that we need to develop. Do we have the ability to be consistent? Oh, I believe so. Do we have the tools it takes to be consistent? Oh. Yes, my friend, we do. Okay, we do. We have what it takes in us with the Holy Spirit of God. We have the tools that it takes here to use, and that's the Word of God. But we just got to do it. We just got to do it. We just got to be consistent. Consistent simply means to be fixed, firm, not fluid. Okay? Standing together or in agreement. Compatible. You know, that verse comes to mind. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Right? Uniform. Not contradictory or opposed to. I'm not going to get ahead of myself. We have to display these things in our lives. We need to be consistent. As parents, we need to be consistent in the raising of our children. Isn't it confusing to say one thing and then something else is true? Right? I mean, that's confusing for the children. They don't understand that. And listen, there have been times where that's happened to me and my children were confused. And it would have helped a whole lot better if I be consistent. And we just need to be who we are. We need to be consistent. We are Christians. Is God consistent? Yes. Is Christ consistent? Yes. Are we supposed to be like them? Yes. So we should be consistent. So how are we going to accomplish this great task of learning to be consistent? Well, let's take a look and see what it takes to be consistent. Go to Psalm 57. Psalm 57. And again, we're going to read some entire passages here just to catch the whole drift of it. Psalm 57, it's only 11 verses here. This psalm is written by David. And the title here says that was written when he fled from Saul in the cave there. And this is a psalm that David wrote about God and to God, if you will. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves, Selah." Now here's the key. "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give thee praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." We're going to show consistency in our lives and be consistent as a believer in Christ. Our heart must be fixed on God. Gotta be. We know in and of itself, we cannot trust this thing. It is deceitful. It is desperately wicked. Unless we fix it on God. Okay? We've got to, and remember, back in the definition, being consistent means to be fixed. To be fixed. And if we're going to be consistent, we've got to be fixed on God. Did you notice we read the whole psalm for a reason? Did it seem at all that the psalmist was wavering on his trust and his praise of his God? No. He was consistent. He was consistent about it. And listen, all through David's life, we see one thing, that David was a man after God's own heart. Above all things, David's heart was fixed on God. We remember it was last Sunday. David and Goliath, right? We talked about how he went out there. He was not afraid to face that giant. He knew his God was going to deliver him. And how dare that man defy the armies of the living God? I mean, I think that's a young man whose heart is fixed on something. And David, for the most part, was consistent in his life. You see, we've got to understand that having a consistent heart and having a heart fixed on God is how we're going to be consistent. It's going to be not able to be moved or able to be changed by things. If you're going to follow your heart and it's not fixed on God, you're following the wrong thing. Yeah, it has to be fixed on God. Then you can follow it, because then it'll follow God. And that's all right. Otherwise, it's not going to. And you must be careful. Go over to Psalm 108. I want you to see this psalm. Psalm 108. Once again, David writing. Here, just 13 verses. He starts out with the key. He says, "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early." This sounds a lot like what he said before, doesn't it? He says here, "I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. God hath spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who hast cast us off? And wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies." Still, maybe years later, as king, first was in the cave, his heart was fixed on God. Now as king, his heart's still fixed on God. He's consistent. And folks, we've got to understand that this is a way that we can be consistent, is having our heart fixed on God, having a consistent heart. Once again, just a few more chapters over here in Psalm 112. He says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light and darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness, and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth, he will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord." Listen to this. "His heart is established.
He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. His heart's fixed. Fixed on God. And that produces a consistent life. The Bible says in Psalm 119 verses 10 and 11. You know, we've been studying this on Sunday nights. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You want a key to a consistent life? It's having a heart fixed on God. Having a heart fixed on God. We must understand that this is imperative for the believer to be consistent. Secondly, go to, I'll tell you what, you go to Romans 7. I'm going to read some other verses here, beginning with what something Jesus said in two different passages. I'll meet you in Romans 7 here in just a moment. But in Matthew 22, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, we talked about that, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So if we're going to be consistent, we need to have a consistent heart and a consistent mind. Consistent mind. In Mark 12, verse 30, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. We already talked about that. And with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Are you there in Romans 7? Look at verse 23. Remember what Paul said? He said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Huh. You mean we have to choose not to sin with our mind? Yes. And may I say, we should do that consistently. How about it? Yeah. So how are we going to get our mind, which is set to do the wrong thing, to do the right thing? Well, flip over to Romans chapter 8. You're right there. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now, this is not that word mind. This is doing that, being slave to it or being overcome by it. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now we're talking about the mind. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Huh. So we've got to understand there's a difference between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. And we've got to have our spiritual mind tuned up. We've got to have our spiritual mind in control. And the carnal mind left behind. Just flip a few more pages over to Romans chapter 12. I did this on purpose so you wouldn't have to flip back and forth so much. We're going to skip verse 1 because we'll come back to that next time. But I want you to look at verse 2. Because it says, and be not conformed to this world. Uh-oh. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Uh-huh. We had a whole school theme built on this a couple years ago. You know what? We've got to understand that we need to renew our minds. Why? That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Would that be consistent? Yeah. Yeah, sure would. Being consistent means having a consistent mind. Consistently spiritual, not consistently carnal. And not for also, for I just remembered the verse I was trying to remember about 35 minutes ago. I'll get to that in a minute if I remember again. I do this all the time, Brother Asher. I chase, you know me, I chase rabbits all over the place. But I'm going to get there. You just wait. Okay. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can't go back and forth between the two. That's not consistent. Being carnal, being spiritual, carnal, spiritual, carnal, spiritual, carnal, spiritual. The verse that I want to remember. Remember what God said about being hot or cold? I'd rather that you be hot or cold. Because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He said, I don't want that. I don't want lukewarm. I want hot. I want cold. Be consistent. Be consistent. And he's saying here, we have this, I'm back in Romans 7. We have this war. We have this carnal mind. We have the spiritual mind. We have this thing going back and forth. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. And the inconsistent Christian can say, oh, wretched man that I am. We've got to learn to be consistent. And we've got to do it by having a consistent mind. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Listen to this. But we have the mind of Christ. We do. But we have the mind of Christ. Folks, can we fix our heart on God? Yes. Can we have and use and attain and utilize the mind of Christ? Yes. And if we'll fix our heart on God, and if we'll set our mind on Christ, we can be consistent. We can be consistent. If we don't, may I say we will not be consistent. A Christian needs to be consistent. And if we're going to be consistent, we've got to fix our heart on God. And we've got to, if I may say, we must fix our mind on God. We've got to have this mind of Christ. We've got to use it. We have it. He says, but we have the mind of Christ. We need to live there in the spiritual mind. Now, the third thing. Now, there are probably many more things about this. But these three, I think, were the kind of top three keys to living a consistent life. Fixing our heart on God. Fixing our mind on God. And then this. You know this verse. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We skipped verse 1 just a moment ago because I want to save it for here to say to you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And if we're going to have a consistent heart and a consistent mind and be consistent as a Christian, we've got to lead a consistent life. We've just got to. You know, myself and my frailties, I am who I am everywhere. I am. This is just who I am. I am not different here in this pulpit than I am anywhere else. I'm not. I'm unapologetically me. That's who God made me. Now, do I have things I need to work on? Absolutely. Do I have things that I probably should do more of? Yes. And there are some things that I should do less of. Yes. Like less of this. Because I'm getting older. I can't do that in my very, very good anymore. You understand? But you know what? We do need to live a consistent life. It's our reasonable service. Reasonable. God says, I've given you the tools. I've given you the ability. You have the mind of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you. You can live a consistent Christian life. Go over to Matthew chapter 13, or 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look what Jesus said to his disciples in verse 13. Again, these are all passages of scriptures I'm sure you know and probably are very familiar with. But I believe the Bible tells us that we're supposed to kind of review these things from time to time. Remember them. In one of the paces, the kids were quoting the verse to me today. They were taking some tests. The verse about we should blah, 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 lest at any time we should let them slip. I forgot what the first part of it was. But I remember the last part. Because if we don't review it, we're going to let it slip. We're going to forget about it. Are you quoting it up there? Hebrews 12:1, 2:1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. You can look it up later. Okay, we're here in Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's a consistent life. That's a consistent life. Hey, we're Lighthouse Baptist Church, folks. We should know this. That light shines all the time to warn the seafarers of the rocks and the coral thingies, reefs down there. They're going to destroy the ship. What if it shuts off? What if it quits shining? Peril. Danger. Destruction. We can't do that. We can't afford to do that. Who will be lost on the day we take a day off from living a Christian life? Who will be lost for all of eternity the day you decide not to act like a Christian? Or talk like a Christian? Or look like a Christian? Or do the things Christians are supposed to do? You ever thought about that? I mean, come on. It's a consistent life. We either are Christians or we're not Christians. I mean, we can't afford to be sometimes Christians. The passage of scripture that we used as our text talks very much about the Christian life and being consistent. He says, hey, if you're going to be a hearer only and not a doer, you're going to mess things up. But if you'll be a hearer and a doer, you'll be blessed in your deed. You know, we've got to understand that these things are keys to the consistent life. And we've got to show it. It needs to be noticeable like salt is noticeable. It needs to shine like light shines to a lost and dark world. We'll close with this over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This is another theme we had one school year. But in verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now listen to this. This is it right here. When Christ, who is our life, if Christ is your life, will you want to live or breathe or do anything else? No. I don't think so. I think this is the heart of the matter, if you will. Because when we die, we're dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. And when it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. How do we do this? How do we live a consistent life? How do we die to our old self and live in Christ and be consistent? He says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked sometime, when ye lived, past tense, in them. But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Can I say something? Living a consistent life isn't just putting off all these. It's also putting on. And have put on the new man. We saw this word before, just a little bit ago, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. These all link together. The heart fixed, the mind fixed, and if you will, the life fixed. Because if Christ is your life, it's fixed. It's fixed. And what is fixed? Consistency. It's consistency. It's not being opposed to God. We know that remember that word we read a little while ago? It's enmity against God. It's opposed to Him. We can't be opposed to Him. If we're hid in Him, if we are like Him, how can we be opposed to ourselves? Hey, listen, I'm okay with you talking to yourself. I'm even okay with you asking and answering questions. Just don't argue. That's what crazy people do. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Folks, we got to be consistent. Got to be consistent. A fixed heart, a fixed mind, and a fixed life.